And then we'll look at the others that I've listed there in the bulletin. And let's ask for God's blessing as we look to His holy word. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for your word once again. We give you thanks for the truth that is contained in it and for the truth that leads us as we seek to be obedient servants of yours. Bless us now as we look into your word. Open it up to us that we might learn from it and we might be better equipped to serve you as we meditate on it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then turning over to Job, chapter 1. That's on page 417 of your pew Bibles. Job chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and says, 'Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Then turning to the New Testament, reading James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, and you'll find that on page 1011 in the Pew Bible. James 1, verses 12 through 18. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And getting a grand tour of the scripture here today. And that's a good thing. Reading the first 13 verses of this chapter. And the apostle writing here, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And then lastly, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And you'll find that on page 1018 of your pew Bible. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 2. But false teachers also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. There's a lot of evil in the world. We've been reminded of that this past week as we've seen lives taken at Fort Hood in Texas and another life taken down in Orlando, Florida. And if you watch the news, you don't have to go that far to see the effects of evil. It's right in our own city as we see life after life destroyed by evil and evil acting out. God teaches us to pray that we will be delivered from evil, that he will lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one, it can also be translated. In the previous part of the Lord's Prayer, we are praying that we'll be forgiven the immense debt of our sin, and we recognize his infinite grace and mercy in sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And we see the necessity of following His example and forgiving others. We also see that there is evil in the world, or else we wouldn't need to forgive anyone. And as we look at this petition today, we see that God, first of all, does not tempt us to sin. And we also see that God provides a way of escape in times of temptation, as Satan may seek and will seek to trap you into sin. And we see God dealing with evil, as we've read in all of these various passages we looked at today. First of all, we need to understand as we pray this petition that God does not tempt us to sin. And you may wonder as we pray this petition, why would we pray, "Do not lead us into temptation"? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why am I praying that? It doesn't really seem to fit. And I think Christ here is seeking to remind us of the fact that God does not lead us into temptation, and to make us think about that as we pray this prayer. First of all, how could the infinitely perfect God lead anyone to do what is evil in His sight? And it's pretty clear as we look to the Scripture, and we read in James chapter 1, verse 13, God cannot be tempted by evil, and God does not deny Himself by tempting you and I or anyone else to do what is evil. To do what is evil would obviously be against His nature. And think about who God is. God is a Spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, as we say in our catechism. Think about what each one of those means. The infinite God is perfect in all respects, in all aspects of His nature. And so it would be a denial of Himself. He would cease to be God if He brought sin upon us. And He brought that temptation. Now, while it's impossible for God to act contrary to His nature and to cause us to sin, He does allow temptation to come into our lives at various times. And this is one of the more difficult things to understand as we meditate upon God and how all of His plan and purpose works out in the world. Why is there temptation? Why does that come upon us? Why do we face temptation in our daily lives? Well, as we think about that, first of all, we need to remember, above all else, that God is sovereign Lord over everything. He works everything together after the counsel of His own will, as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 11. We need to keep in mind also that God created man as a rational being. When God created man, He created male and female after His own image. And so we're not robots. We have the ability to choose right and wrong. God has given us that ability. And so how is it then possible for there to be evil if God is sovereign? An important question. A great mystery to us. But we need to understand from the perspective that God has created us as rational beings with the ability to choose right or wrong. To understand this, it's good to give a little example that might explain it in a way that's a little easier. And an example might be that of cattle or other farm animals on a farm. And a farmer will put his cattle inside a fenced field, and he'll let them out to roam and to eat, to walk around, to swat flies, to lie down, to visit with the other cattle. They can do anything they want in that field. But sometimes a cow will act up. We'll try to break out of the field, and sometimes we'll succeed. But the farmer's in control. And so the cow may get out of the field, but the farmer will go after that cow and bring it back in and mend the fence to keep the cow within the field. The farmer sets the limits for the cattle. They can't go beyond those limits. And likewise, God sets limits in our own lives. To show forth His glory and to carry out His own purposes, He may allow Satan to tempt us, or He may allow the remnant of our old sinful nature to bring temptation upon us. But we need to remember that He is always ultimately in control, and so we don't exceed His boundaries. And He stops us when we do. We see Satan tempting Job in Job chapter 1 and then going through the book of Job. But note that God set limits on Satan. He said, you can't put your hand on him. He couldn't take Job's life. He took a lot of other things. But he couldn't take Job's life. God set the limit. And Satan had to stick within that limit. And there was great temptation placed upon Job. And as you look at and you read through Job, you see what a difficult time Job had. All the many trials and tribulations that came upon him, losing his family, losing his possessions, losing all those things. And yet, he did not curse God. Because he trusted in God and he understood that God was in control even though things looked horrible. And you can just imagine being in the circumstance that Job was found. Imagine being in that kind of circumstance. I pray that none of us will ever be there. Sometimes Christians are tempted by Satan to fall back into their old sinful ways. And so you and I are tempted and we're bombarded by temptation in our society to seek to fulfill, for example, our selfish desires instead of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. There's a great temptation to put ourselves above God, to put our desires, what we think we need, above what God knows we need. To second guess God. There's great temptation to do that and to turn away from Him. God allows sin into our lives sometimes to humble us, as the Holy Spirit then convicts us of that sin. Now, if you're truly trusting in Christ, if you have truly been born again and you are His, then when you sin, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you of that sin and make you very uncomfortable. And when that happens, rejoice, because God is delivering you from that evil by convicting you of your sin and causing you to realize its sin and to seek to repent and turn away from it. It's one of the ways that we know we truly are in Christ, when it really bothers us to sin. It's one of the ways that you can know for sure. If you sin and it doesn't bother you, then you have reason to question and to seek the Lord, that you might be delivered from that spirit. And so God may allow temptation to come upon us, but He doesn't bring it upon us Himself. And then as we go on, we pray that God would deliver us from evil. And this God does do. This God does in abundance, as a great, great blessing upon us. And that should be our prayer when temptation comes upon us. Deliver us from evil, O Lord. Deliver us from evil. Deliver me from the sin that is seeking to well up within me and express itself. Deliver me from that evil. We can confidently pray this because God has given us His promise. And we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. So that's the first thing to remember. The temptations that come upon you and I are common to man. You're not the only one that's tempted the way you are tempted to sin. You are not alone. Many, 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 many others have the same temptation. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And so the second thing to remember is the temptations that come upon you are not more than you can handle. If you truly turn your heart to God, and you truly trust in Him, and you truly look to His Word to guide and direct you in your life, is particularly as you deal with whatever the temptation has come upon you, what that might be. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to deal with. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. And that's the third important point to remember here. He provides the way of escape. And so when you're tempted, get on your knees and pray, God, deliver me from this evil. And then be open as the Holy Spirit shows you through His Word how to be delivered from that evil. God will do that. God promises to do that. God promises to deliver you from that temptation. And so the temptation is not so great that you cannot bear it. But you're called upon to do something. And remember that. If you sit back and say, oh, maybe it'll go away, maybe it won't, I'll just let things slide for a while, you'll find that that temptation will grow. And you will be easily brought to go along with what you're being tempted to do. So act. When that temptation comes, act. Act immediately. Pray that God would deliver you. Look to His Word as it deals with whatever you're being tempted about. And put that into practice. God provides that escape as we apply His Word. And we can successfully resist the temptation because Christ has resisted the temptation first, and He has paid the penalty for your sin, and He has given you that new heart that desires to be obedient to God and feels really bad when you're not. God in His mercy provides the escape. And so we can't ever say that a temptation is too great for us if we're true Christians. There's no excuse for sin. Even when God sometimes allows that temptation to come our way to test our faithfulness, as certainly happened to Job and has certainly happened to Jesus in the wilderness. Think of Jesus brought into the wilderness by Satan to tempt. And those temptations that were real temptations to Jesus. And He had the strength and the power to resist those temptations. And He set that example as He did that. But His faithfulness there is the basis upon which We have life, and we have the ability to resist the temptations that come our way. Rejoice that Jesus resisted the temptation perfectly. And he did that for you and me. And his righteousness, even when we do give in to the temptation and we come before God seeking forgiveness, God, through the righteousness of Christ, he sees that righteousness instead of our sin. And he forgives and he's merciful. And so we must look for ways to escape the temptation as we pray for God to deliver us from evil. As we do this, remember it's the infinite God that you're praying to. The infinite God who is able to strengthen you and deliver you. Recognize that God always provides that way of escape. And recognize that our ultimate deliverance from all evil comes when we go to spend eternity with Christ. And there is a day coming when there will be no more temptation and you will be free of it. And you will be made perfect in Christ, and you will live forever with him if you truly trust in him and you have turned your heart to him. By God's grace, as he opened that heart to believe. And so let us rejoice, even as we see the temptation in the world around us, as we see the evil in the world around us, and we see ourselves tempted in many ways. Rejoice in the mercy of God that he delivers us as we call on him. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we do confess that we are faced with many temptations, day after day, week after week, year after year. We are faced with them. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we give in to the temptation and we sin. And we seek your forgiveness, O God. We pray that you would deliver us from that evil. And Lord, we thank you that you don't allow temptations that we can't handle to come upon us. And that you do make a way to escape. And that you do show us through your word how to deal with the temptations that come. Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength and the desire to see that way of escape and to follow it. Lord, we confess that sometimes the temptation is so great upon us and we don't want to follow the truth, but yet we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit convicts us of that. And we pray that you would continue to do that. And that you would bless us as we turn more and more away from sin to trust in Christ and to be obedient to your revealed will. And so bless us and guide us through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.